People suck at networking because they talk about what they do, right? It depends. What is it your business is about? Okay, so for in your business, for instance, here's what we do. But to be honest and just really upfront about it, these days...
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Kim Barra Show. I'm your host, Kim Barra. And today we are joined by one of my very early mentors, amazing gentleman, great friend, Mr. Gulliver Giles. So he's on here today to talk about how can you dominate in your sales. We actually did an event together, and I went to one of his events, I should say, and generated over $600,000 of sales in a week. It was not easy. Let me tell you that. There was a lot of trials, tribulations, and hurdles, which we dive into in this episode. But as I said, Gulliver is an epic human, amazing in the world of sales, and as is his lovely wife, Leela Cosgrove, who's amazing as well. Today, we've got Mr. Gulliver joining us. Until then, let's jump into the show. Mr. Gulliver, sir, thank you so much for joining me today. Really appreciate you making the time.
Oh, mate, thank you so much for the glowing introduction. I'm not sure I feel like I deserve it. Good to be here, mate. Good to be here. Like you've done so many cool things. It's good to catch up again. Seems like it's been too long. Yeah?
Yeah. No, definitely. And I always like to ask at the beginning of every podcast as well, if I met you at a party, we hadn't met before, we didn't already know each other, and I said to you, what is it that you actually do? What's your go-to response?
Well, I mean, I hate talking about myself at networking and parties. So, like, my strategy would always be to try and figure out what your problem is and if I could help you solve that and then reposition that around what I do. It's people suck at networking because they talk about what they do, right? But at networking events, I will say, well, look, you know, it depends, you know, what is it your business is about? Okay, so for in your business, for instance, here's what we do. But to be honest and just really upfront about it, these days I go into companies and I look at where sales aren't happening and why. So at the higher level, I'll do that for, you know, big companies who are having cultural issues with their teams. And I'll go in there and I'll figure out whether they're referable or whether they need to be managed out. Then I'll install new team. So I'll kind of do sales management as a done-for-you service. At the mid-range, I just install new teams. And I also, of course, you know, do a lot of executive coaching for companies who, you know, want to establish a good, solid sales process and, you know, have all of their metrics tracked and have all of their scripting and their, you know, their objection handling nailed down so they can have a multi-million dollar sales process. And then once that's established, we can then put appointment setters and salespeople in place in order to take the load off them. So most of my work over the last sort of 20 years has been doing work with, you know, companies like yourself, where there's a CEO and they, you know, they want to get good at overcoming their stuff around sales and their fear around sales or their nervousness around sales, and then helping them then scale and remove themselves from being the only person who can do sales, which you've done successfully. And then from there, you know, obviously recruiting, training, managing, hiring, firing, and putting in place sales management and sales direction so that the CEO, the Kim Barrett in the company, is able to just kick back and sign the checks and not have to be as involved in the front end of the sales process. Because I think that's the difference between having a, you know, a business that you pay your time, which is essentially self-employment, and a business where you are, you know, the business pays you money whether you are there or not, is having people that can create the wealth, create the growth, create the leverage for you. Yeah. So that's a big kind of description. but that's we do a lot of things. We've been around for a while now, so we have a lot of different offerings depending on where people are at.
Yeah, 100%. Because I know, yeah, when we very first met, which was in Tokyo, and I remember I was like still pretty early on in my business at that stage, and it was doing a bit of speaking, and I was over there to do some Facebook ad stuff and chat about some different stuff from a marketing perspective, and you, yourself and Leela came on and talked about sales, and I was just like, man, I need some help from these guys, because it's like marketing and whatnot I found relatively easy, but the understanding how to have effective conversations in sales, and also like how to be confident, because when people would give me campaigns, I was like, oh, I was confident I could do a good job. But actually, yeah, being confident in conveying that on the phone was like a very different experience for me at the very beginning.
Yeah, for sure. I think a lot of people feel that, you know, they go through that sort of first few six figures of just like, you know, you're basically pulling it out of your ass and hoping stuff works until you invest the time and the money to really be able to kind of create a system that, you know, if I say these things in this order, I convert at least this much out of these many calls. And at that point, you know, you've got something where you can give that to somebody else and they will be able to achieve the success if they do what you ask them to do. And I think that's the real difference. Like when we met you were, you know, you're one of those rare people that actually goes and does stuff. And it made that whole trip to Tokyo was bizarre because it was like these dudes that we knew were like, hey, we're doing a summit. Would you like to come and speak? And we were like, yes. And they were shocked that we said yes, because people are like, oh, it's too far. It's Tokyo. It's like, we will go anywhere and take any opportunity to travel, to have fun, to meet people, to make sales, to build relationships. And you really stood out in that room because you were one of those people, you know, out of all the people in the room, there were very few people from America or from Australia or from England. And there were a lot of people from Asia and a lot of people from Japan particularly. But for us to meet you at that, it told us immediately that you were someone who was going to go after it because you would go and do stuff. And the whole trip to Tokyo was worthwhile just... I mean, we made a bunch of sales that event, but meeting you was like the biggest part of it because we've done so much with each other since then and, you know, able to create some really good outcomes for your clients and in the world help people get a better result. So, yeah, it was a super, super cool way to meet you and to identify, well, this is Kim and Kim is someone who's going to make a name for himself. You could just tell. You could just tell.
That was fun. And obviously that was one of the precursors to then we obviously did a lot of work together, trained up like pretty much every single one of my sales team ever. I've always gone on and done work with you guys. And then we went and people still like freak out when I tell them the story of when we went and did residential where we were like locked away for 9 days and like would tell them the outcome. I was like, yeah, we did the over 600K in sales. But I mean, the precursor to that is a story I always like to tell is like how scared I was to actually like do it at the time when you're like, cool, do it. And then I was like, oh, this is like a big investment for me, right? Probably that was the biggest investment I put into myself and my business.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, like I didn't have the cash either at the time. And I was like, can we do a payment plan? You're like, you've got 3 weeks. You can pay me each week for 3 weeks. If you can do that, you can do it. And I was like, okay. So I was like, as soon as I committed, I was like, well, I have to go and figure out how I'm going to do it. and freak myself out. It worked real hard, but we did it in the end. And then obviously it paid off in the long run, but it was a big leap for me making that, you know, 30K investment to go and do this. But obviously to do that and then figure out the process of, you know, doing, I think that week was nearly 60 hours of dialing, 60 hours of calls. In one week. And that was like phenomenal.
I feel like, you know, like when you first joined us, you know, like to invest, I think you were doing a few hundred thousand dollars at that point, but you weren't the millions, right? And to invest $30,000 in mentoring is a big step. And I feel that because like every single time that we've invested big money, like I remember the first time that we spent money with Frank Kern, we spent like 15 grand with him and I had a fucking tantrum at Leela about where we were going to find the money. And it was the stupidest thing, you know, because I should have just trusted her because she's always right, you know, and we did it and we made literally millions of dollars from what we learned. But you never know that at the start. You kind of have to just suspend your disbelief and stop being a little bitch and actually fucking do the work. And every single course the last coaching we bought was $160,000. And I like to think after 20 years in the industry and, you know, decade previous to that doing sales and sales management that I know a bit about sales, but I still hire sales consultants. You know, I still hire companies that you know, are doing things I'm not to learn. And it, you know, $20,000 a month over 6 months, whatever it ended up being, like it just fucking, it was scary as fuck. It doesn't stop being scary because growth is always scary, but people think that they're going to like, you know, they're going to invest in the mentoring when they're already successful. But what you actually have to do is invest in the mentoring and make yourself successful. And that's something that you did that most people don't do. Leela talks about this all the time. You know, she's like, I commit to doing the thing and then have a freak out about how I'm going to make it happen. Most people have a freak out and never commit to doing the thing. And that's the difference between you and the millionaires and the people who stay their whole lives living a life of quiet desperation is you do it even though you have no idea how you're going to make the money. You commit to doing it and then it happens. And you did that. And I remember you came to an event very early in the system where, you were doing, I think, a lot of done for you digital marketing, Facebook advertising stuff at that point, but you really wanted to establish yourself as a brand. And we talked about, what do you care about? And you're like, I love martial arts and I love marketing and I love travel. And I'm like, what if you did a retreat where you did martial arts and marketing and travel, which is kind of, based around that sort of residential idea, that immersion idea of like, take them somewhere, get them out of their comfort zone, make them do shit. And you did that dojo for 20 grand, whatever it was in Thailand, and you took them to the martial arts gyms. Like, you were always innovating and coming up with shit and just committing to it and doing it. And that's the difference between you and a lot of students who just get a mediocre result or no result at all, is you would commit to doing the thing, figure it out, make it happen, So I feel like that's kind of like the big lesson, when it comes to sales is, pushing yourself to do the things, to go to a higher level, to push yourself out of your comfort zone, create innovative, cool shit that excites you and terrifies you to do it. And that's a big reason why we've been successful and why we've established ourselves. That's a big reason why you've been successful and why you've established yourself and you've moved from being a done-for-you service to being a known brand, mastermind, mentor, because you went out there and you got it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. And it's I've seen it happen so many times, and I think I did a post about it yesterday as well, and it's like, the only by putting yourself into those situations are where you're going to be able to see what you're made of, push yourself out of your comfort zone. And it's not like, I mean, probably a little bit of that when we went and did that my event in Thailand, where we're doing martial arts training on top of a cliff with like a Mr. Miyagi type guy and stuff, like we're pushing ourselves a bit physically, but most of the time it's the mental thing. And for me, I remember even going to residential, I was catching a taxi from the airport, and in my stomach, I was like, cool. I was feeling so like nervous and sick. And I was like, oh, like I don't know what's going to happen. And I was like, look, I'm not like bloody trying to be like a David Goggins and go and run 10,000 kilometers and my feet are going to start bleeding. I've just got to go in a house with some pretty epic people, learn some stuff and pick up the phone and call people. Like, it's in the big scheme of things, it's hard, but obviously we can really easily get in our heads about how overly complex, sales is going to be. And I remember, I think it was earlier in that year before we went to that, I think it was yourself and you said to me, it's like, man, if you have pipeline, you don't really mind. Like, you can go through and as long as you've got consistent conversations that you're able to have, it's like you can solve almost any problem with that. And
yeah,
I've passed it on to my clients and people so often, is that if you're worried about the outcome of any one sale, it's like we just don't have enough people to talk to. If we flip that on its head and you have too many, then it's like, well, it's easy to be confident, it's easy to be able to have a deeper conversation and also call people out on things if they're saying one thing and you're like, that doesn't sound right. But if you're sitting there going, I have two leads and this is one of two of them that I'm speaking to right now, I can get pretty hairy, and you're like, I don't want to mess it up.
Yeah. I think having the intestinal fortitude, the guts, the determination, when you have two leads is what leads to you having that as a default state when you have 100 leads. You don't get to having hundreds and hundreds of leads because you didn't make sales and make money. Yeah. You have to start. Like, when we first started, there was no Facebook ads. There was like the yellow pages and going to other people's events and networking, and we had like 200 leads on the database in the first year. I converted like 25 of them into something, and then the rest wouldn't pick up their phones, and it was pretty crunchy there. I had to sell my guitar to buy milk at one point. I think everyone goes through that, but you're right. There's no problem you can't solve with sales, and there's always more pipeline. There's always a JV. There's always a referral network. There's always something, a successful ad campaign around the corner. But those that don't give up, those that don't quit, they're the ones who grind through and win. And I think this is like, when I look at what you did, you were always looking for a way to make it happen. You were leaning in and looking for a way to make it happen, where most people are leaning out and looking for an excuse not to do the thing. When you came to residential, I think, you know, $660,000 in contract value and like whatever it was in cash that you took home that week. Most people don't have the guts to do that. But some people, the rare person who's successful, backs themselves into a corner and finds a way to make it happen. And that's what you've done consistently. That's what everybody I know who's actually ever actually been successful does, right? So like when I saw you at residential, what I really noticed, and there's lots of different ways to make money at residential. We've had people make $1 million at residential. We've had people make 600,000 like yourself. The average, you know, 100, 200,000, $300,000, you know, is where most people end up. So sitting down for 9 days in a group paying $30,000 to do something like that is scary as shit, but the people that do the work get that money back in their pocket and they get an experience and an intensity that they could never get anywhere else. Why do we do it like that? Even though it's so intimidating, is because, well, you're a martial artist, right? Like you get in the ring with someone, you are going to get kicked in the guts. You are going to get punched in the face. You are going to, you know, you're going to get a chipped tooth. You're going to break your hand. You're going to find it's difficult. It's definitely going to be some problems. But if you're worried about how that's going to go down, then you'll never get in the ring. When I get in the ring with my mentor, it was like, I'm going to try and hit this guy. I could never manage it, but I'm going to give it everything I've got. And only then did I actually start learning things. Because it was like I wasn't looking for a way to escape from him. I was looking for a way to lean into the fight. So I think there's a lot of parallels there in what you did at residential, because you were leaning in. It might have been frightening for you, but you had a strategy. Like you went into that, and you might not have been the loudest person in the room. You might not have been the most extroverted person in the room, but you were the most disciplined and consistent. And one thing I really noticed about you at that event was you never weren't pitching. You were like, just I think you double booked every single appointment slot for the entire week and just stacked up the work and went, right, I'm just gonna be on the phone this entire week. And everybody else, eventually, like, you left them in the dust because you were the one doing the consistent work and just showing up and doing it, even though it's scary, even though it's exhausting. That's where the money always is, the end of all of that hard work that most people aren't putting in.
For context for people, if they haven't heard this story before, it's like, because we were in Melbourne, so obviously being in Perth, I was like, that Perth is like, obviously always behind. So it's like I could call people later, and then I also would have earlier appointments being the East Coast as well. So I think it was like pretty much like 7 till 7, I think, every, like, and we had like a little bit of lunch break. But then I was like, 7 o'clock, I was like, cool. That time I was like, we didn't leave the house. I was like, wake up, shower, coffee. I was like, what else am I going to do? I'm here to learn. So I was like, all right.
That's it.
Straight onto the sales calls. And that was, 12 hours a day for 5 days. And obviously a few days of like prep and then kind of reflection as well. But that was, it was the most intense, but I learned so much. Even after day one, I had done... That was 12 hours of calls, where some people might do 12 hours of calls across like 2 weeks.
A month. Yeah.
So that was just the intensity. And I was like, well, if I've got to be here, I've at least got to be filled up. And it's like, worst case, at the end of that, if I do 60 hours and I made no sales, by the end of it, I would have to like fall over a sale. I was like, I'm going to fall over a sale even if I suck terribly. But by that point, and being able to have yourself come in and give feedback, Leela come in and just be like, hey, why did you say that? Why didn't, like, how did this happen? And I'm like, oh, like, you know, and there were points where we got like immediate feedback being like, hey, like, listen to me while you're talking to this person, feedback immediately. And then like, you know, posthumous, where it's like, cool, on this, you said this and then that happened. Can you see how this would have been a better flow from there? And like, oh, well, like all these things that if you're sitting in an office by yourself, or if you're someone who has a business, it's like you don't really get the opportunity to reflect on that from a like external person and show you those things. And I remember after I did it, I was like, cool, there's, you know, anytime I could have an opportunity to send us my sales team to learn from you guys, it's like, because I do my best to try and instill a little bit of that. But again, I'm already doing other stuff in my business every day. It's not like I have those days blocked out just to sit and...
Yeah, the freedom is different now.
Yeah.
that's the benefit I found from all of my team always. Whenever they've gone across, they've, and to learn from you guys, they've been like, wow, like, you know, Gulliver heard this and told me this, or heard this and gave me this. And it's like, it's just always been such a change in the state of people, because you don't know what habits you fall into. You don't know, you know, just some of the things that you might say that, like, you're like, oh no, I'm definitely following my script. And it's like, oh, hang on, like, you went on this whole tangent over here and you started getting stuck over there. Like, that's not sticking to the script.
Yeah, that's it. And I think like, you know, the reason that we created these events was because when we began, there was no Facebook ads, there was no cheaply available lead gen. There was just, you know, you had to work really hard to get a lead. And you did not want to screw it. So you need to know exactly what you're going to say, what breakthroughs you're going to give them, what insights you're going to give them, how you're going to call them to action, how you're going to handle those objections. And I think a lot of people, like, when they start out in sales, they need a script because they don't know what they're doing. And there's this dangerous place where they get good at what they're doing and they abandon that stuff and they just kind of ad lib it and they don't get the same results. The masters, people like you, they wouldn't go into battle without their sword. They wouldn't get on a sales call without their approach nailed down, because you don't want to have to be thinking about what you're going to say next. You want to be able to be thinking about seven steps ahead of where you are, how you're going to handle the problem this guy just told you he's going to bring up later in the call. So it's what separates the men from the boys, the wheat from the chaff, the experienced from the inexperienced. You know, you're not an amateur who needs it. You're not a journeyman who's cocky and thinks he doesn't need it. You're a master who really has a process. And that's the only reason that you've been able to get off the phone. And you're not the one who has to do it all yourself anymore. And you've got, you know, other leaders in the business who are able to pick up that sword for you, is because you crafted it in the first place. You know, and that's why we build the events that we've built, because we'd give people these systems and they wouldn't, you know, they'd buy the coaching program or whatever and they wouldn't do the work, they wouldn't use it, and it would frustrate the shit out of me. And I was like, what if we locked them in a house and made them do it for like a couple of days? And the results were incredible, which is why we then, you know, we got so much notoriety from, you know, the clients like yourself that got good results. All the clients would come to us and go, I want to do what Kim did. How do we do that? You know, so I think going to America, you know, training Ryan the ISIS sales team, using, you know, that first day of strategy and the second day of technique training and the third day of mindset training. I'm sorry, actually execution mindset, like, how are you going to do it? Let's listen to your call. Those guys made 75 grand on day three by all getting on the phone and actually having a crack at it. That's what gave birth to the idea of then, like, let's do 9 days and see what someone could do in 9 days. You know? So that's what you got subjected to, was like, how do we make sure our clients are actually doing it properly? And because we really cared. Like, it was like, we wanted, like, if we're going to charge you $30,000 for a program, you better be fucking making 100 back. If you're going to charge you $30,000 from an event, you better be making $300,000, you know, that week. And you made six, so you kicked everyone's ass. But it's about forced implementation. And like you said, critical feedback. Like, you see where you fucked that? Fix it. Did you see where you fucked that? Fix it. Do you see where you failed? Get back up. Try again. Get back up. Like, that intensity, like, scares the shit out of people. But if you don't go looking for the stress in your business, it will come and find you. If you don't go looking for the stress of, how do I get better at sales, those bills are going to keep coming, you know?
100%. And yeah, it's something that I see so often. And as I said, that's why, like, I knew I had to get good at sales, because it was my, I could generate leads. Like, that was easy, you know? Ads is somewhat easy in comparison.
Your happy place, yeah.
Yeah, being able to go through and actually then go, all right, great, now I've got these people, like, conversion process, like, let's get this actually happening, was difficult. And the same even for my team, is like, I know that for them, they were good when I was able to give them, you know, the scripting, the process, the education from you guys as well. But then when I was able to get them to actually get some live implementation of it, like, it's always there. I always, you know, liken it to, as you say, like, sharpening the sword. It's like, well, they were just so much sharper when they were actually able to implement it with someone who could give them feedback, which is why I really sending them over to, you know, sales dominance, stuff like that, was always pertinent to their growth. Because you can get, as you said, if you're implementing things that you've learned in a program and whatnot, and you're reading a script, it's like, it's good. But the live feedback and implementation and actually instilling that into someone, because again, as I say, even instilling the process of using your script and following it,
yeah.
But everyone always says to me, like, oh, but how did, like, Gulliver sell you? I'm like, same, like, the same script. Like, it's not like, it doesn't mean different because I know him was with our second or fifth or a hundredth conversation. The process is the same because it's the process.
Yep, that's it. So I think, like, you know, like, you learn a lot more going to Thailand and training, you know, Mr. Miyagi on the mountaintop than you're going to learn reading a book about what Muay Thai is like. Yeah, like you can watch Muay Thai on the internet and you can practice at home, but having someone there who's been doing it for 30 years look over your shoulder and say, Kim, move your hip slightly here. Can you feel the power there? Okay, now kick him. Oh, wow. Okay, look, he flew across the room. Like those little adjustments, right? Like that's the mastery level, the little 2 millimeter adjustments that separate, you know, okay performance from absolute dominance. And that's what, you know, sales dominance and the sales residential are all about. And that's what all of our training, whether we come into your corporation and, you know, train you a new team, or whether you're an entrepreneur who's a solopreneur who needs to learn how to make an extra few $100,000 a year to get to the $1 million. It's all around those principles of, like, well, you know, how do we get your head right? How do we get your approach right? How do we get your execution right? You know, those things don't change. And I think you're seeing in this current generation of people who've come up in the last few years, you know, there's been a time where for 5 or 10 years, there's been just leads easily. You know, you could learn how to spend $200 a week and get 100 leads and close sales every week. And that hasn't been available at any time in human history until just recently. And you've seen unparalleled financial growth in the markets where everything's been going really, really, really well right up until COVID. And in the last couple of years, things have been getting tighter and tighter, and the world is changing. It's more difficult to get a result from advertising. It's more difficult to get a result just by sitting there waiting for people to give you money on the internet. And I think we're seeing a time now where those sales disciplines and those, you know, those skills and that tenacity and that drive, if you're looking to be in business in 2024 and 2025, what you may have noticed is the world is getting harder. Yeah. Interest rates are going up. Inflation's going up. There's some terrible shit going on in the world. These are hard times. What you need to be to survive those hard times is you need to be harder. You need to be tougher. You need to be stronger. You need to actually take a mastery approach to selling and having a sales system like what Kim has done. You need to do too, because that's where the actual freedom is in taking responsibility. Yeah, that's taking ownership of, all right, well, I'm not good at this, I'm frightened of it, I need to fix it, I need to get better.
So tell us a little bit about sales dominance then, because we've mentioned a few times you guys have got something coming up pretty cool for those in Australia or those willing to commit and come over to Australia. Like, tell us a bit more about what you guys have got lined up.
Yeah, look, I mean, I feel like the sales dominance that people knew was one where we would, you know, sit you down and give you some mindset breakthroughs on day one around sales and around, you know, why you're frightened of it and why you're not doing it, or what the bullshit story that you're telling yourself that's screwing you over is. And then day two, we talk about technique and, you know, how to use your sales approach to the best advantage, how to give customers greater insights, breakthroughs, and a sense of, holy shit, this is incredibly valuable, I need to buy from this person. And then how to handle their objections in a systemic and strategic fashion, so that you can walk away with a really solid set of breakthroughs around what's going on in your head and how to be how to be able to step past your mindset issues. Yeah. But also how to actually tangibly make offers and get paid and how to handle your customers, you know, biggest problems and objections that are getting in the way of them buying from you. So that's what we used to do. And it would culminate in like that those 3 days would culminate in, like, you know, a live fire exercise at the end where, you know, we're literally walking the room, listening to you make calls, coaching you on what's going right and wrong. You know, the process that you've been through, that all of your sales teams have been through, that your clients that you send to us have been through, that's created you hundreds of thousands of millions of dollars over the last 10 years. So that's what used to happen, but this one will be new. So there is a lot of, particularly in the last 3 years, what we've been doing is we've been looking at what's going on in the world, and we've noticed that a lot of really big companies don't have any idea how to recruit, manage, train, motivate their sales teams. So we've been doing a lot more work you know, going into $25 million companies and charging multiple six figures to go in and rework, change manage, hire, fire, replace their teams. So we're also going to be working in a lot around, and I think for your guys, maybe some of them, this will be useful for where to go next in their lives, and some of them more useful for where they are now. It's how to do what you've done, how to replace yourself, you know, how to remove yourself from being the only person who can make that call and make that sale. Yeah. So we will be talking a little bit more about recruitment strategy, management strategy, mentoring strategy, you know, how to get people on board, how to get people on mission, how to get people to actually, you know, what metrics you need to be looking at to see if they're going to get success, and how to mentor them more effectively. And that's what we will be doing, combined with all the stuff that we used to do. So of course we're going to cover mindset and sales techniques, and of course we're going to also put you guys on the phone and punish you and sharpen you up. So I think, like, new content, but more as it pertains to growth beyond the solopreneur. So this event used to be really targeted at, you know, the Kim Barrett of years gone by, who was making six figures plus, who wanted to get to a million, who didn't have the sales skills to get there, or didn't know how to get paid larger amounts of money and have the ability to create, you know, a sales approach that would close a $30,000, $40,000, or $100,000 sale in 90 minutes on the first call. And we'll still teach you that, of course. But where it is also adding value now is, you know, how to get better results out of your team, how to structure your recruitment, how to structure your mentoring and grow beyond just being the solopreneur to where Kim is now, where he's got, you know, he's got a sales manager and he's got staff who are able to take over the functionality of the business so that he's able to go and be more strategic and deal with the higher level problems in the business as the CEO, rather than being bogged down in the sales process. So those 3 days of the event, you know, 17th, 18th, 19th of May in Melbourne, will be really targeted at giving you a more complete understanding of sales, giving you a more complete understanding of your issues and how you can get past them. But also, as the leader in your business, all sales is top down, and how to actually set a sales culture of excellence and have people wanting to be on the mission with you, and how to manage them to get great results so that you don't have to be doing it yourself. All of that tied up with the opportunity to actually make some money. So the record on day three is, I think, $1.3 million one guy made in Arizona. The Americans hold the current record for sales dominance. The Australians hold the current record for residential. But yeah, if you're coming to sales dominance, there's a lot to learn, whether it's, you know, how to expand beyond your individual efforts, or it's how to perfect your individual efforts, or both. Very valuable for people who want to grow their business by multiple six figures in it. In a world where things are getting tougher, this is all about getting better, yeah, and stepping up and having the ability to create security and confidence in your business, in your sales, and in your growth. So that's what it's all about. If you're keen, we'd love to have you. Yeah.
Yeah. As I say, guys, it's definitely worth checking out. I've been to it. I've done it. All my team have been to it, have done it. There's a reason why they continue to, you know, any new people that I get come along, our first port of call, we go into something like this with Gulliver and Lily, because it's an epic experience. So can't recommend it highly enough. And now, Gulliver, there's always a question I like to ask at the end of every podcast as well, which is, mm-hmm. Is there anything which I haven't asked you yet that I should have?
Gosh, that's a tough one. What I ask me? I don't know, be selfish. Like, tell me what problem can I solve for you, Kim? Like, where are you at? Like, what can we do to give you better sales? Where is the biggest problem that your guys are having? What would they like to know? Like, are there questions that you know, like in your mastermind, your clients listen to this on your database? Are there big obstacles they're grinding up against that you know that they really want the answers to? Have we asked all those questions on this call? Are there some particular problems that they're having that you could highlight that I could help answer for the crew out there?
I think one would be in the realm of sales recruitment. There's a lot of people go out and they end up with subpar people, whether it be because they don't have the systems to train them or the recruiting process. Where do you find is the worst place to find salespeople? Because obviously you have your own processes and methods, and people go out there and they chuck ads on Seek. They post in Facebook groups. Like, where do you find, in your opinion, what would be like the worst place, and then what would be the best place?
There's a couple of things here. One is the worst place is whoever you've got in front of you. So this is a mistake we have made, and probably you have too, and everybody else I know who's fucked up their recruitment, and not just in sales, but any kind of recruitment, is, oh, such and such does that. Oh, they're here now, and I guess I could train them how to do it. Yeah, someone wants to work for me. I'm so flattered that someone wants to work for me, so I'm just going to hire them, right? Like, that's the probably the worst place to find anyone, is whoever's lying around in front of you that you're trying to kind of shoehorn into doing sales. And you see this a lot. And it's not about a media where these people are hanging out or a place that we're advertising for them so much. It is about we're trying to shoehorn people who are in front of us who want to work for us into doing sales, even though that may not be their mission, their calling, something they're any good at. And this is something you see a lot, you know, like so often you'll go into really quite serious companies and it'll be like, all right, so who's in charge of sales? Oh, it's Debbie on the front desk. Okay, great. So what's her experience? Oh, she does a bit of admin and she prints off the brochures and stuff. And, you know, sometimes we'll get her to make some calls to invite people to things. And sometimes we'll get her to do some prospecting. And it's like her role, his role, their role is like, it's just like percentage of it is actually proper outbounding and none of that's trained and there's no system. So this is a typical thing where you've got some administrative personality where you've kind of shoehorned them into doing a sales role that they fucking hate and resent probably and don't like. Yeah. That is such a classic, right? So where to find good people? I think, you know, whether it's on, you know, Seek or LinkedIn or wherever, it's not so much about the media, it's about the niche, right? So if you look at your approach to Facebook advertising, right? You will have a particular avatar that you've really, you know, like Kim is 35 to 45. He has a $2 million business. He needs X, Y, and Z. I'm going to sell him A, B, and C. But to get him to opt in, I'm going to give him a piece of information that I know he's interested in to qualify that he's the right kind of person. It's going to have the right kind of copy to get him to put his name up and say, hey, I'm a multi-million dollar mentor. I have these problems in my team. So you're very kind of, you do the work on that as a marketer, right? But no one does the work on that in their recruiting. People put up the job ad, which is like, hey, we have this job. We're going to pay this much money. They don't say, hey, are you this person? Do you have this experience? Do you have these skill sets? Have you met these requirements? Have you done these roles? I'm not looking for anyone that hasn't done this, 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 and this. So if you're a loser that isn't prepared to do this, 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 and this, don't fucking apply. But if you're a warrior and a badass, put down your details. Copy. Marketing. So where do you put that? Well, where is the niche? Are they on Facebook? Are they on Craigslist? Are they what? I don't fucking know. But when you build out that niche, it will then tell you, oh, I know where this avatar is. I know where he's hanging out. I know where he goes to drink at night after work. I know which car he drives. I know where his kids go to school. I know exactly where he fucking is. I'm gonna prepare that marketing campaign. I'm gonna hit him here and here where I know he's congregating. So like if you look at it like that, like where the best place to find that salesperson is, if you've done the work on them, well, who they are, what their subject matter experience is, then it's like, well, of course they're here. Of course they're here. And more importantly, how are they using this particular media where I'm advertising? Is they're probably looking at it for this, this, and this. So I can now target them if they're interested in this, this, and this. So I feel like that it's literally what you do for a living. Right? It's not about the media, it's how the user uses the media. Like if you put the ad in the newspaper, it has to be advertorial so it appears like, well, why do people read newspapers? Because they want to be informed, right? If it's Facebook, why do people go on Facebook? To be distracted. Make it something interesting and distracting. People on LinkedIn, why people on LinkedIn, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I think it's about like mastering the actual niche of who you want as your salesperson and the experiences that you want them to have had. Yeah, they might not even be, and this is the other thing, they might not even be a salesperson. Yeah, they might be someone who has a passion for XYZ and subject matter expertise in XYZ, who would love to earn $100,000 a year but has no idea how to, and you then train that person using your sales system to be a really great salesperson because they deeply care about solving that problem because they've lived that experience. So something we've done with companies again and again is we'll go in and we'll be like, all right, well, who is this person that they have empathy with and understand the problems of the people we're going after? Yeah. So I've got a multi-million dollar company I'm dealing with right now who is selling, you know, coaching, but they want to sell coaching to people who are professionals and they want to sell coaching to people who are professionals who are trying to transition to coaching. So there's a lot of opportunity for them in people who have started to try in the last few years and failed to build a coaching business who understand the problems with it. And if we're targeting someone like that in our recruitment, they're going to understand the pain that person's going through. Yeah. So this is an example. I could give you a million of them, but you're looking for, you know, with the fabrics company we used to work with, you're looking for someone who's done some work in industrial textiles and fabrics, who has an understanding of the industry, who wants to actually communicate value to people, who cares about that. That's going to be a better salesperson as a semi-subject matter expert than anybody that you could hire who's a professional BD for $150,000 a year, who thinks they understand sales, but doesn't understand sales at your company, which also means you hire this person for $60,000 plus bonuses and train them how to do it your way, rather than trying to hire someone who thinks they're good at it, but has never sold for you and doesn't understand how you sell or what you sell. So like I go on my rant about, you know, overpaying puffed up business development representatives who are scared to pick up a phone, but we won't waste your time. I guess the point is, the ones who are just sitting under your nose, anyone who's willing, same sort of thing with marketing. If you take anyone who's willing, you know, referral, word of mouth, anyone who wants to buy, you don't have a marketing plan and you're going to get all kinds of inconsistency in the kind of customers you get, right? Same thing with sales. If you don't have a proper recruitment marketing plan, if you haven't really figured out who you're trying to appeal to and who you're trying to get and what your recruitment process is and how you're going to delineate who's able to do the job and who's not, you're wasting your money and you will burn a fuck ton of money on shit people that aren't going to do a great job and it will end in misery. So, I mean, that's probably one answer to that question. I get long-winded, but when it comes down to it, just don't just hire whoever, have a fucking plan. Yeah?
Yeah.
Where are those people? They're everywhere. But if you don't have the right message, whether they're on Facebook or LinkedIn or whether they're at Seek, you're not going to have a great campaign. It's not going to get a great result. You know?
Love that. That was a great answer. And for if anyone wants to find out more about Sales Dominance, find out more about what you guys are up to, best place for them to go. We were chatting earlier. We're going to put together something where you guys might be able to give them a couple of cheeky cool things.
Yeah, I think what we should do is I'll give you a link to put in the descriptor for this when they're looking in the description so they can just log in and get some cool stuff from me. And if you opt in for that, you know, great. You want to learn more from us, whether you want to come to Sales Dominance or not, if you're curious about sales or sales mindset, go for it, you know. If you're really mega super keen and you just want to reach out to me, I'm on Facebook, I'm on LinkedIn. If you look me up, Gulliver Giles. There's not any other Gulliver Gileses out there. So hit me up and say, hey, I was listening to Kim's podcast. Want to come to your thing? But yeah, happy to give you some free stuff just to learn more, particularly for what you're saying. You guys are really interested in sales and sales mindset. So I've got a whole bunch of stuff like that. I'll give you some freebies to give to the crew. So you're very welcome to that, whether you want to come work with me in my event or not, you know, like hope you get a great result from it. But if you're super mega keen, hit me up on socials and I'll jump on a call with you and make sure it's for you and make sure it's a good fit. Yeah.
Awesome. Love that. Mr. Gulliver, sir, thank you so much for your time today. Really appreciate it. And I appreciate you jumping on to share some of your sales wisdom with everyone.
Oh, it's good fun, Kim. I'd do it again. Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it.